Man, mahalo for listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And this is Felicia and Marshall.
What's up, Felicia?
Oh, so much. I am so happy to be here, and I'm even going to pretend like I'm a music DJ just a little bit. And
I see you fiddling with the player there.
I know, it's kind of funny. One of the things I'm going to have going on during this show today, every time when we do a fun drive, we also have a talk story series.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Good. So you're going to play some of that?
Yeah. And then look, I'm going to pretend like I'm a professional DJ. So I'm going to talk in a really calm voice with some music behind. So let's just pretend all over again. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And my friend Alan Faya is actually going to be joining us. Marshall and maybe Jake might come in here too. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Kauai Store and Sam's Ocean View. And in the background, we have Paul Tokioka playing. Tokioka, he's really good.
And this is from the Talk Story CD. Yeah?
It is from the Talk Story CD. Yeah. And Paul actually played at the Vietnam Veterans 50th commemoration. It's hard to, like, celebrate a war, but commemorating the sacrifice that people made. And he was in there, too. So we're hearing Paul in the background. And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And you know what? Well, this is a fun drive week. And so I want to thank the people who have so far given us $52,150 out of our goal of $60,000.
That's so beautiful. That's a lot to be thankful for.
It's a lot to be thankful for. And our show goal is 1,000, and I believe that we've already gotten a couple just before the show started. So thank you on that one. One of them's to Joe, and then Marge, who's my other donor. There had been another one who donated before the show.
Sharon,
thank you. So that even gets us started in a good position. And we're going to be talking about a number of different things. And I think it will also be a pretty fun show. And Alan, you have a friend that you would want to sort of promote a little bit. And I got the joy of seeing this really cool book called Brada Joe. And what was one of the poems that you wanted? Do you know where on the CD play?
The very first one is called I Reached My Beginning. It's all about, no, I'm sorry, Try Look You Inside. It's Try Look You Inside. It's like, well, when you hear it, you'll understand. It's like when you catch a big wave, that's when you're looking inside. But you got to hear this now. Brother Joe has been my pal since we were little kids. His mother was a librarian in Lihue, and so we used to go in the basement. My mother would go over to his mother at the library, and we'd go play Green Hornet downstairs. And over the years, he's developed poetry with fantastic calligraphy. He's written 86 books or something now. And
is that right?
Yeah, kids go wild over it, too.
It was beautiful. I loved it. You showed me what it looked like, and so we'll hear it.
For the people that love Pidgin English, listen up.
Let me make sure
The Green Hornet, that takes me back. Yeah. When you say play that, were you listening to audio tapes or something? Of the Green Hornet?
Oh, yeah. In those days, actually, we were playing ukulele. His sister was the ukulele player. So she would sing and we would play.
You know, smoky thing.
There you go. Here he goes.
So much more pretty in all the mountain. Why you fella like scrape the mountain like that? Waste time. Chalukwan sunset. Are you going? Waste time so much building. You think you're more natural inside a box. Chaluk you inside. You no can think straight with all these kind of contraptions. Hard for breed, you know. You know, I get so many accidents. You make a mess, why? Chaluk you inside. How much people now? My bear's a trouble. More better stop making baby, but by the house broke. Chaluk you outside. The tourists, they went forget. No can find paradise outside. Outside where? Outside you. How can? Everything inside. It's just like surfing, eh? When you get one good ride, it's living, eh? That's what you call inside. You don't forget love or what? That's a kind, you know. What kind? Just look you inside.
Nice. And does he still live on the island?
He lives in Kona, and I'm going down to see him shortly. He does all kinds of things with Hawaiians down there, developing history of Hawaii, certain aspects of it. Someone's calling in.
Somebody will get it. They're probably calling 826-7771 to make a donation.
Okay.
Or 774.
Because I thought one of my Pidgin English friends would call in, like Maka'ala. And anyway, and of course, we grew up with Pidgin, so when you are able to speak Pidgin, you're able to communicate with locals a whole lot more than, you know, just the straight English language. So Joe, Brother Joe, actually he goes by the handle now, is Brada Joe, Brada Joe. His real name is Joseph Hadley.
Mm.
And he has a younger brother named Billy and a sister who used to go down and play ukulele down by Barbara, down by the wharf at Na Willy Willy, and entertain all the freighters that came in.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd all sit down there and talk Pidgin English. So he, and then on the Big Island, he's just working all sorts of programs with schools and kids. Amazing person. And he's just 3 months older than I.
Mm. Well, you know what? Pidgin is actually, it's like a language museum. You know, it's a beautiful thing, really. Like, sometimes when I hear people, like, try to just eliminate it, like it's lack of education or whatnot, really, it was a mixture, right, of all the different types of cultures that came together?
Well, actually, I grew up in Waimea in the sugar and dairy business, mm-hmm. and all the locals, that's all they spoke was Pidgin English. And I remember when I used to come home from school, I'd bring my friends to the house, and we'd all be sitting in the living room, talk story, talk Pidgin. My mother was a teacher at Waimea High School. She'd come home, and she'd hear us talking Pidgin with each other. And she says, "Now, boys, you do not talk Pidgin in this house. You talk English." So she said, "Now, let's hear you say something in English." So we all left.
Yeah, it's a mix of all the different cultures, right? In the sugar camps, there was people from a lot of different countries. When you were a kid, like what year time was that you're speaking of? Did they still separate parts of the camp, like a Japanese area and a Chinese area and a Filipino area, or was it blended by then?
It was very definitely segregated. Our house was the manager's house, which now is the manager's house at Waimea Plantation Cottages. If you know,
mm-hmm.
Waimea, all the houses that we have are cottages, used to be meal camp houses. So when I walked to school barefoot in those days, I would walk right through the Filipino camp because that was the closest. And I'd pick up all my Filipino friends, Sylvester, Domingo, all the... Bayats.
Did you know Jose Bulatao?
Yeah. Oh, sure. That was, yeah, but that's Ke Kaha. He's Ke Kaha.
Oh, right. You're a Waimea.
But,
okay.
But I'm walking to school, and now we've got a gaggle of Filipinos walking together, and we wind up walking through the Japanese camp. And they didn't like us. And because I was hanging out with Filipinos, and Alan Suinaga was a Japanese my age. His father was my math teacher. His father flunked me in math because I was walking to school with the Filipinos. So summertime I went to Punahou for math, and I got straight A's. And they said, how come you failed math at YMN? I said, well, it happens to be a problem of ethnic differences.
And so what decade was this? Was it the 30s or no, 40s? When 40s, 50s? I can't remember when. When were you in grade school?
Well, actually, during the war.
So 1940s, which
yeah,
war?
Yeah, in 41, when the war started, we were all in Mukwele Annex, which was, you know, the one through, or kindergarten through six, I think it was. When the war started, they moved us to Keikaha School. So after the war, then we went to YMS. So it'd be 45, about 45, 6, 7. That period was when these YMS high school friends and I would walk together. So I still have the Domingo family. In fact, Ray Domingo, you see his name in the newspaper all the time. He's quite a prolific writer. And so these are very sharp people. I always admired all my Filipino friends.
Yeah, now, I mean, I'd say almost everybody's all kind of mix a little bit. I mean, it seems like an awful lot anyway. So, but the language would be influenced by each different group, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. The Filipinos had some little pidgin differences, like, you know, I can't think of a Filipino word right now, but they had some funny words that were, you'd have to know, but those are used, mixed in with the pidgin English.
And Brada Joe, what's his background?
Well, his mother, of course, was the librarian, and so he went to school in Lihue. And so I got to know him just because my mother would go there, and he went on to develop all kinds of degrees in the East Coast, came back here, married, has kids. So right now, like I said, he's enjoying the Kona area, and I plan to go see him probably December or January.
Right on.
And he might be listening. Who knows?
Yeah.
Alan, you said you were walking to school in bare feet in the day, yeah? Yeah. Did they let you go to school in barefoot?
Oh, sure. Everybody went to school in bare feet in
really?
Those days.
I mean, that's actually the norm even now. A lot of classrooms, you have to take your shoes off before you go in. At Hanalei School, when I taught there in the early 80s, most of the people showed up without shoes, or they left their shoes outside. You didn't wear them inside. You didn't wear your shoes to school.
All right. Well, there wasn't like a footpath outside. I don't know. I would love to go barefoot more. It seems like you can't go in. Well, I don't know.
Because I was kind of backwoods sugar cane, you know, dairy guy. The parents sent me to school in Connecticut. It was a proper school. It was prep school, Choate School, which was a prep school for Yale. And I was sent there in 1948. So 48, 49, 50, I had to wear shoes. And that was a big shock going from no shoes to not only shoes, but you had to wear either suit or just a coat and tie.
Right.
And then all your teachers were called masters. And it was a very strict thing. And so from a sugarcane guy to go into this highfalutin, it was a drastic change in lifestyle.
Yeah, that sounds pretty strong. Thank you for sharing stories. And this is, you come in a number of shows, and I appreciate you've been an angel donor. I did an angel donor this show. Last show on the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show, I appreciated that we had an angel donor, which is $1 a day, $365 for the year. Even people can do that, breaking it up on monthly times. You can definitely, even just some people put in $10 a month, you know, on a regular pledge. So,
and check it out. Right now, Felicia, I've got my phone in my hand. I'm going to go to kkcr.org on my phone and donate that way.
Oh, you're going to go to the donate button?
Yeah, it's so easy.
All right, okay.
All right, hang on. And I'm going to use PayPal. I'm not, you know, forget the card, everything. I'll tell you when I'm done, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So www.kkcr.org or 826-7774, and people can donate that way. And we'll see if Marshall gets his completed before we get through our Wave Riders. And I just really want to honor all these people on the Wave Riders that have helped Kauai Community Radio stay on the air. Volunteer-driven, listener-supported. 826-7774.
A. Feinberg Galleries, featuring internationally award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg, located at the St. Regis Princeville and Kukui'ula Poipu, expandingvisualreality.com.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle with the Kauai County Recycling Office. More information at 241-4841 or at their website, kauai.gov/recycling.
Hanalei Bay Resort is proud to be this year's top supporter at Kauai's Charity Walk and is always looking for more ways to give back to our island. More information can be found by liking Hanalei Bay Resort on Facebook and following on Instagram.
Ono Pops Hawaiian Frozen Pops, handmade in Hanama'ulu from Kauai Farm Ingredients. All natural, nothing artificial. Over 25 years on Kauai and at onopops.com. Ono Pops, local, ono, and pono.
The Kauai Lifeguard Association thanks KKCR for its continued support of our ocean safety mission. Mahalo to the residents of Kauai who make many rescues and interventions at our beaches without recognition or reward.
Tiki cocktails and late night dining, serving food from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Tiki Iniki toasts KKCR's 20 years of entertainment and service.
Fisheye Kauai loves KKCR. Local art and local sounds, a match made in paradise. FisheyeKauai.com.
Kauai Island Health, pain-free North Shore, specializing in postural therapy, certified by Egoscue University, herbal medicine and essential oil therapy consultations. KauaiIslandHealth.com.
Got game rental, carnival games, bounce houses, tents for fundraisers, birthday parties, and special events. GotGameRental.com, 634-5754.
Waimea Theater, the only place on Kauai to see the Hawaii International Film Festival, November 16th through the 19th.
Charlie Brown thanks the KKCR audience for considering that the second law of thermodynamics can be transcended.
Ogawa Chiropractic, providing health and wellness care for Kauai. For more information, call 808-822-7113 or visit ogawachiropractic.com.
A. Feinberg Galleries, featuring award-winning photographs on gicle, metal, acrylic, and our new backlit luce. Prints of exquisite Kauai and beyond. ExpandingVisualReality.com.
If you would like more information about being a Wave Rider or would like to become a Wave Rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
1 minute and 28 seconds ago, I made my donation, and I've received my email receipt already. So that's as easy as it is. Grab your phone, hit donate, you're done.
And you know what I just learned? Like, somebody else followed what you said and did a donation online, and I didn't even know we had a kupuna donation, but we did, and then so...
I have to assume that's big.
It is big. Thank you. That is such a big, warm heart. So I want to thank Eileen for being our kupuna donor.
I want to say something about donations. A lot of my friends don't realize that this KKCR, the building, the operation, everything, all the costs are borne by donations. So all of us who are donating, I found a lot of friends that didn't even know what it was. And so they're probably writing their checks and mailing them. But, you know, you go out and tell your friends, look, now is your chance to contribute to the community. This is community radio, and you get to learn a whole lot. Just because listening to KKCR, you have a variety of music and political everything.
Yeah, and you know, like, we have all different kinds of music, and then we get to learn all kinds of fun things from our different community members. And
Laura's at the board here, Felicia, and the numbers are climbing. We're at $765 for the show already. I think that my donation actually came through the computer system and out through Laura's hand.
Okay.
Up onto the board. It's climbing.
It's climbing. Yay, it's climbing. So we're up at, I can say it, right? We went up to, we're at $765 for donations on this show.
Yay,
thank you. That is really exciting. And I want to read a press release that came out just a little bit ago. And Alan, this is an organization that you're involved in, so you probably already know about this, but this is the Friends of Maha'ulipu, and they got awarded $500,000 from a court settlement. The
really?
Friends of Maha'ulipu, yep, the Federal District Court further validated that the Friends of Maha'ulipu Clean Water Act case against the defendants, Hawaii Dairy Farms, which is a project of Piero Midyar's Ulupono Initiative and Grow Farms Maha'ulipu Farms. Okay, in this 171-page order, Judge Kenneth Mansfield awarded more than $500,000 in attorney fees, expert fees, and litigation costs, finding Friends of Maha'ulipu the prevailing party, which means they were right. The court concludes that the plaintiff is the prevailing party and an award is appropriate. So in his ruling, Judge Mansfield found the defendant's arguments unpersuasive, which means he did not believe the people who were saying the dairy, that they weren't in violation. And he found that the Friends of Maha'ulipu's actions and the consent judgment met the Ninth Circuit Court's three-part test in deciding that the Friends of Maha'ulipu were the prevailing party. So
then the private citizens who put up significant funds of their own to fight those lawsuits, they could get paid back? Is that?
Well, you know, I wish that was the case.
No.
It's actually because they donated their money to Friends of Maha'ulipu.
Mm-hmm.
People did actually, you know, take out home equity lines of credit and things
like
that.
They,
because it goes through a nonprofit, the money doesn't come back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But their attorney gets paid, and that it gives them a little bit more room to be moving forward. And, you know, what I think is good with that is that it takes a lot of courage for a community group to go up against billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And
that took a consistent effort over a good period of time.
That's a huge value in TGI, the Garden Island. About 2 years ago, I wrote a letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it turned out to be a bigger article. But I mentioned the fact that we had a dairy when I was young, and we had all kinds of problems. Eventually, we let Meadow Gold lease it from us, and then they took it to Molawa, and then they got sent away from Molawa also.
Yeah.
So time went on. And that was like in March of 16, I think, or maybe 2015. So I got a message from Bridget Hammerquist, and she's the leader of the Friends of Maha'ulipu, FOM. And she is an extremely bright person. She was a nurse at one time.
A lawyer.
And now she is very active, so she had me write a deposition for the court, the federal court that we went to Honolulu, and that was pretty scary sitting in a federal courtroom, which is, you don't sit there very often, and here were the opposition on our left and our group on the right, and you could hear, you know, all the lies on the left. So when it was all over, we got stopped by the newspaper,
Garden Island.
No,
oh.
Honolulu.
Oh, Honolulu.
They stopped us and they interviewed us. And Kiahi Tucker, you know,
mm-hmm,
Kiahi.
Mm-hmm. From the news station?
Yeah. Hawaii News Now. Anyway, so the long story short, Bridget and I have been back and forth together for years and years. And so she said, you know, we might get the approval of this plaintiff charge because there was major damage done. It has to be undone.
Yeah, you know, these guys, Friends of Maha'ulipu, have basically done the due diligence that the dairy should have done, that the state should have done, or the landowner should have done. And we as a community are really truly blessed that there are people like the Friends of Mahalapu who have basically put their lives on hold for 2-3 years, making sure that the aquifer is not contaminated, and it is a relentless uphill climb. I see that there's a quote from them. It said, I'm not sure, oh, Bridget said this. We welcome the award. Friends of Mahalapu's members made significant sacrifices to support our lawsuit. Despite public outcry, adverse rulings in both federal and state courts, and a review causing them to withdraw their environmental impact statement, Friends of Mahalapu is at a loss to explain why Pierre Omidyar and his team maintain their continuing intent to develop a 2,000-cow dairy. Mahalapu is rich heritage. Its rich heritage, county drinking water wells, our ocean beaches should never be compromised by massive amounts of untreated animal waste, said Bridget Hammerquist. The court's award recognizes that citizen groups may have to file such actions to protect their environment. Without reimbursement of attorney fees and costs, Congress recognized that citizen groups would not be able to protect their environment when developers failed to follow the law. So it is not that common that we see this go through to that far. I did go to court on Island here, and Judge Randall Valenciano really scolded both the state and Hawaii Dairy Farm. So, you know, all over their environmental assessment, there was non-factual pieces of information.
So what's the next step? Does this mean that the dairy is not going to happen in that location?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, it's kind of relentless when there are these points of contention.
Mm-hmm.
Even like when we look at the 30-meter telescope and the Mauna Kea group, you know, they're going back. The protectors of Mauna Kea are going to be you know, contesting that case. And then I'm trying to right now pull up this.
They're going back to court or they're going back to Mauna Kea?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. And I'm trying to look there. I'm going to bring this up. There is another. I don't have it loaded. I had it loaded for the last show. There is a workshop happening on the 1st and 2nd of December on Oahu that is about circumventing public outcry, right? And it's I'm going to pull it up. Maybe we'll get it pulled up in a moment here, and then I'll be able to really look at it. But there's a giant chess game that goes on. And when you look at the Peter Adler is putting this program on, it's 2 days, but it's about how to not allow what they say a minority of community members to stymie the efforts of business or projects, and that the implication is it's just a few people. Well, it's just a few people who put their lives on hold to do this.
Right.
But if these guys didn't find the money and hire the really quality attorneys and be a powerhouse of knowledge and education and possibilities, it wouldn't have been revealed that this was right on top of the aquifer, right next to the wellheads, like 750 feet from the wellheads, and that the soil percolation rate wasn't anything close to what it was claimed to be. That you know, there were so many things that were not factual, and we're seeing that same company, Group 70, is who did the
EIS.
EIS. It was, I think, an environmental assessment.
They did. No, they did an EIS.
Yeah, yeah.
They did. I have a copy of it. By the way, we talk about the aquifers and the destruction of the water system. The worst case scenario is that when you have a dairy that close to the Hyatt Hotel and the downtown Koloa people that live near there, it's ludicrous, the smell that comes from a dairy, and you get flies and everything. We had that experience in Waimea. So it's more than just the water problem; it's the air quality problem.
Yes, there's a lot of elements, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox, and in the studio with me is Alan Faya, my good friend for a long time, lifelong resident of Kauai. I know you've been off and done different things, worked for NASA and aerospace engineer, but also he's got a lot of history here. And I also have Marge Dente in here, who is one of our original KKCR founding members.
Aloha, Marge.
Aloha, Marge.
Aloha. And I'm so glad that, Alan, you told stories about growing up here with the different races. And this is something that I want to bring to everybody's attention, because being a founding member with Butch Kekahu and his family, one of our goals here at this radio station was to deal with the issue of racism. And Walter Lewis, who was he's now deceased, but he lived here for a long time, and he wrote an editorial back in 2008 in our local newspaper trying to address this issue of racism on Kauai. And, you know, the proposed dairy and traffic problems, barking dogs, fireplaces, the super ferry, and our local politics. This goes on and on and on. And the discussion ends up with them against us, always. And this is so prevalent on this island. And it's white skin against brown, Japanese against Filipinos, everyone against the Howleys, and locals against non-locals. He brought this up so well in this article. And his whole point was, first, we need to recognize the prejudice in ourselves, and is deeply ingrained, and it's in our human subconscious. So as a founding member of this radio station, and I know we're going through the process now of coming up with another strategic plan for the Kekahu Foundation and KKCR, I just think it's really important now for this issue to come forward and to be addressed more succinctly. And our radio station is a perfect medium for that. And I hope it gets put into the strategic plan as one of our goals, and get our programming adjusted more toward this end. And I'm not a friend of Ann Coulter, but she had an article in the newspaper lately, and at the very end of it, she said that she was talking about what happened in Las Vegas. And
with the shooting?
Yeah, that's what this article was all about. But what she said, what she would really like to have is an honest conversation about race, requiring white Americans to sit down and patiently listen to hours and hours of angry denunciations of their privilege. Now, I'm not a fan of Ann Coulter, but I think she's put this in a nutshell as to what is going on here and all around the United States. So I just wanted to thank you, Alan, for your stories of how you grew up here with the different races and the problems that you experienced. And I'm glad you went to Choate. I'm from Connecticut. I had many friends who went to Choate. And yes, Connecticut is a very, very anal retentive state.
Wow, someone that knows Choate, that is awesome. And can you imagine this barefoot, backwards, dairy, cane field guy going there with barefoot?
And in the winter.
And the trouble was that on the way I stopped with my grandmother in Berkeley, and she made sure I had a camel hair coat, overcoat, and the scarves and all the suits and ties and all that stuff. And then riding the train across the United States, there were still GIs riding the overland train back to, and that's a shock, when you go from Hawaii to California, no problem, but California to New York City and then up to mm-hmm. Connecticut. Oh, mm-hmm. Hawaiian feet hurt.
Marge, you're saying that the Kekahu Foundation is revisiting the strategic plan or developing a new strategic plan, is that right?
Yeah, it's taking place at the board of directors, and We've been talking about this. The current one ended in 2014, and we did accomplish a whole lot of our goals, but there are more to accomplish. So it's coming up. We're now discussing whether or not it's appropriate to research, examine, and possibly think about changing the mission statement or adding to it. And once we get that established, then we can start talking about some of the goals that we want to achieve on this radio station for the next 5 years.
Well,
go ahead.
What is it in the mission statement that is under consideration for changing?
Well, my husband, Fred, who is one of the founders of this organization and is still on the Articles of Incorporation as a signator, he would like us to be to state what we actually have become, and that is a more progressive voice on Kauai. Now, the word progressive threatens people for some reason, so that's what's being discussed.
Mm-hmm. And I want to play that mission statement, and if people are out there that support our mission, please help us know how much you support our mission by calling 826-7774 or going to www.kkcr.org and hit that Donate Now button, because it really makes a difference and keeps us on the air.
Absolutely.
Now listen to our mission statement.
Ke ala nu'ukia KKCR. KKCR's mission statement. O KKCR kahui laki o ku o ko'a no Kauai. He hui leki o kaiaulu e pai pai ia ai e ka lehu lehu ai ho'o lele ana me ka ho'o laha ole. KKCR is Kauai's independent radio station, a community radio station supported by the people and broadcasting without commercials. Nā pahuhopua KKCR. The goals of KKCR. E ho'o ulu I ka hoi, e a oaku, ai ho'o hau oli ho'i I nā hoa ho'olohe. To encourage, to teach, and to also cause enjoyment in the listeners. E mālama, e ho'omau, ai ho'olau le apu I nā mea a me kanohona Hawaii. To care for, to perpetuate, and to celebrate Hawaiian customs and lifestyle. Ho ike I ka nani a kea o ko ka ko kaiaulu a me ke kaiaulu ku waho. Showcase the broad beauty of our community and the outside community. He kahua o KKCR no nā leo a me nā mele laha loa pū no me ka laha ole. O KK Kahu Foundation, ka mea e ho'oholo ai ia maupapa hana leki o. KKCR is a platform for voices and songs both well-known and underrepresented. The Ke Kahu Foundation facilitates these radio programs.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So actually on that mission statement, I had somebody on my show not too long ago and saying how we need to change lifestyle to way of life. And so, Marshall.
Yes, what's up? Exactly.
Yeah, so people can call in, and there's a lot of gifts and a lot of cool things.
Yeah, no, Marge. I actually wanted to ask you more about that, because you were saying that you would like to see the strategic plan address the KKCR addresses the issues of racism on the island, and I'm wondering how you see KKCR doing that. What would change, and specifically, how could we better address those issues?
As part of the strategic plan, it has the goal, and then it has how do we get to the goal. And that would be up to the committee that's on the strategic plan. And so we're guided by that once it's approved by the board of directors. I don't know that I have any specific plans, but I know that there is tremendous racism on our county council. It's really obvious to me when I attend those meetings. And so maybe part of our goal or part of our process would be to have a session with any of the county council people who will be, of course, elected in the next few years, over the years. And let's find out what makes them tick. This is very interesting to me. Our county council people now are 6 males and 1 female. And they're different ethnicities. And there are 2 people or 3 people now who have signed up to be candidates.
Yeah.
And so it's a touchy issue. It's a very touchy issue, as Mr. Lewis was trying to point out in his article back in 2008. And I think there's a lot of ways that KKCR can take part in this struggle that I feel that this island has, and the other islands as well. And it's just because of our growth factor and the amount of people that have come here over the years from all over the world and how that has influenced what was here for so many years and undisturbed. And now it's being disturbed.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And I think that, like, you know, it depends upon who you're talking to, because if you're talking to people who have 1,000 years of history here, everybody else is new, you know, even if they were born here. So it has been an encroachment and an eclipsing over the years. And even in the pre-Western contact time, there's different groups from different Polynesian islands that have come and eclipsed each other. So I think one way, at least Kauai Soapbox tries to address this issue that you're speaking about, as best I can, I try and get voices and viewpoints from all of the different perspectives that I can. And when we sit and we talk together, it helps us learn a little bit more about the difference between, as the, I want to call it, the dominant culture comes and really influences very heavily. I do sit in county council meetings very regularly, and I would say more than racism, it is a resistance to being eclipsed by the dominant culture, you know, regardless of what the ethnicity is of the people coming in. And so last week or the week before, it got real slamming about that. But it becomes like when people are coming from the continental United States typically, and they're wanting change from what is here, some of the council people might feel like, well, then go back. I mean, and openly say so. And I think that what can kind of come back and forth is there is a very different value system from the dominant culture, even though the United States is very diverse, rural versus urban, red versus blue, you know, conservative, progressive. You know, people don't want to lose their value system. And as we're looking at this general plan update issue, one of the most dominating themes is the people who have something do not want the traffic, which is an inconvenience, and the people who, you know, don't have housing want a house. And so if we stop all the housing, then, you know, a lot of the people who were born and raised here, then they go, well, how's my kid going to be able to have something? So,
well, there's also a gender situation, in my opinion. And I think this is happening all over.
Meaning it's hard to run as a woman?
Yes, it's very hard to run as a woman. And later I'll bring up some points for women, too, who would like to run for office. But I think what's happening just since 1960, believe it or not, when the birth control pill became available for women, I believe that's when men started fearing they were losing their power. And I would like to talk about that sometime.
Okay, so yeah. We're going to come back to that. We've got a caller holding, and I could have fun torturing Alan over that one. Thank you for calling KKCR. You're on the air.
Thank you, Felicia. Hi, it's Bridget Hammerquist.
Hey, Bridget.
From Kalua.
Did you hear me just, I gave you a pitch out there, yeah. Thank you.
I did, and I know some of your listeners had some questions about how this works and what comes back to Friends of Mahalapu, and I just thought I'd try to clarify if I could.
Please.
Well, basically what happened in our case, Felicia, is that the litigation of a Clean Water Act case in federal court is, as you can imagine, not inexpensive. And Friends of Mahalapu raised a good amount of money, and we paid over $250,000 to our legal team and brought the case to a point where Charles Tebbett, the lead counsel, said, you know what, guys, I think we're going to win. And I'm going to defer any further billing or costs to you, and let's go get it from the other guys. And we said, okay, right on.
Mm-hmm.
We're up for that. And it was really a big, took a lot of pressure off, you know. We'd already raised a lot of money. It's a lot for the community to come up with. And so they continued to represent us. And ultimately, we brought enough facts before the court, the federal court, that it was evident, and the federal judge found they had been engaged in a lot of construction activities, some excavation, a bunch of different stuff that they shouldn't do without permits. And they're supposed to have a stormwater construction permit to protect the environment, which is what the Clean Water Act case was all about, is that they were out there developing without permits. So they stipulated to stop all their activities, and they signed what later became a consent judgment. In other words, they consented to be bound by a court-ordered entry of ongoing enforcement, so that the judge had ongoing enforcement action over them if they went up forward and did any of the things they'd been doing. And there was like eight of a bunch of items that they'd been doing that she enumerated. At that point, our work was done. We got the thing stopped. There was not going to be anything further done to hurt the water and to hurt the ocean. And so our lawyers put in a petition for attorney fees and costs. The briefing on that petition was fairly extensive, and the opposition even more so. The defendants said we didn't really need to file a suit. We didn't really need to do this. We didn't gain much. It was a nothing, you know, et cetera. Well, the briefing on the petition for fees and costs was finished by the end of August, Felicia, and we waited. And yesterday afternoon, the federal court released its order. And as you know from what I sent you earlier, it was an incredible order. I mean, it's 71 pages long. It's really well documented. We're going to put it on the friendsofmahalapu.org website so people can read it if they want. But it's so well written that I know they probably are going to talk about appealing it, but I don't see any legal grounds for appeal. There's no error. There's no misapplication of facts. I think it's going to stand. And it's not money that'll come right away, and a lot of it is going to go to pay the bills that we were never billed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some of it will come back into Friends of Mahalapu's bank account. We're a 501c3. But once people donate, it doesn't go back into their wallet. The bigger picture that I think is really important, Felicia, is that the dairy developer has manifest, public comment-wise, in print to the legislature, their determination to put an industrial dairy at Mahalapu, whether we like it or not. I mean, they have put that in print. Kyle Dotta wrote a letter to the legislature and had the nerve to tell the legislature that the public and the experts who formed really well-written comments that were well supported by science was comment bombing. That's the term Mr. Dotta gave the public's input, comment bombing, and the experts' input, comment bombing. Like people were bombing their project, when in reality, they were bombing Mahalapu with unpermitted development.
So, Bridget, I can hear the tone in your voice of the emotion that's there. And I want to just honor you for, like, because I have seen how much work you have done. And I want to also honor Friends of Mahalapu for helping the dairy concerns over there at O'Okala. Without Friends of Mahalapu, I think there would be no progress forward for the people in O'Okala, where there's literally manure staining the cliff walls as the water is falling over into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And they have been exhibit A of how diligent, or lack thereof, is the Department of Health and the Department of Ag at not monitoring what they've done. Bridget, have you, I just was mentioning earlier that there is a public participation in a polarized era, the good, the bad, and the future. This is a workshop. I sure hope you go. This is Friday, December 1st and Saturday, December 2nd. It's over on at the UH. And I see that Ulupono is one of the supporters of the event, and that even their director, Amy Hennessy, is one of the ones that is teaching this. And when
They're a sponsor of the event.
Okay, so you're aware of what I'm speaking of. So
yes, we're going, Felicia. We're going. We're going to be there.
And then
because they're trying to suggest in all these different fronts right now. That's what I started to say. They're giving testimony to the legislature. They're having a think tank symposium at the William Richardson School of Law, ostensibly because there's a need to develop legislation to control the public from commenting on developers' projects. Yeah, let's make them all be quiet so we can rip up their reefs and tear up their oceans and contaminate their drinking water. I mean, contamination of drinking water has happened in more than a dozen states in the United States right now, from large animal ag too close to groundwater, inadequately spreading its waste, improperly spreading its waste in too concentrated a fashion that the ground can't absorb it and handle it, and the water becomes degraded and it's no longer drinkable, it's no longer even safe for human consumption. So they're doing a symposium, they're talking to legislators, they want to put in more bills. And something else that your listeners should know about is, right now, the Hawaii administrative rules are undergoing, you know, a normal process of updating. And the Office of Environmental Quality Control that assists the Environmental Council has done a really neat thing. They've put the proposed amendments to the Hawaii administrative rules on a link. And we've got that link going up onto Friends of Mahalapu. And if anybody wants it, they can email Friends of Mahalapu at hawaiiantel.net. And, for instance, Ulupono filed a comment suggesting that developers should be able to batch comments, pick all the comments that they feel are sufficiently similar and just respond to one, make one response to the batch. That would be a terrible thing to have happen, because you know that in that batch, there would be some really cogent comments that would go unanswered. And one of the reasons that they were motivated to withdraw their EIS from review by the Department of Health was because the director of the Office of Environmental Quality Control said that on review he found they hadn't answered many of the public comments at all. They weren't responsive.
I mean, you have to,
under the current law, answer each comment point by point.
My observation is they treat the public like pests. And when we are not allowed to have any kind of video conferencing, and you have to fly over to Oahu for a 10 a.m. meeting, we have this Board of Land and Natural Resources meeting coming up where they want to redirect...
On December 8th.
I noticed this last past Thursday. I went to the Land Use Commission meeting here, and in that they unanimously approved Monsanto's important ag land jurisdiction on Oahu for 1,550 acres. It would be better, you know, if they had done that piece on Oahu. You know, so it's for us, we have a really hard time as a a neighbor island being able to fly over. It costs hundreds of dollars and just to go over and testify. And I know, like I would like to go to this December 1st and 2nd thing because it is so critical that there is pushback and holding the ground. So I thank you for going over there. And but, you know, like this requires, it's probably going to cost, you know, $750 a person to attend in terms of flying over there, having a place to stay, everything else. And I want to acknowledge.
Yeah, you have to stay the night before because it actually starts, I think, at 9 a.m.
8 a.m. 8 a.m.
8 a.m.?
Yeah.
No, it's early. Yeah.
So, and yeah.
It is really, you know, the thing that they always, they talk about the public as if we're just these impossible people, but really they're the ones with the money. They have the billions of dollars, and what we're doing is using everything we have. Truly, all the extra nickels I have are going to fight this.
Well,
and that's really the honest to God truth. I mean, I'm not rolling in dough, and most of the FOM members aren't. I mean, some are better off than others, but it's wrong.
Well,
it's wrong to characterize what we did, our hard work, as comment bombing.
Right.
That's just disrespectful. I mean, when PhDs like Charles Blay, who has studied the volcanic rock formation of our island, who has published, has books written, takes the time to sit down and write a comment to help the Department of Health understand, is this project safe environmentally or is it not? And when he takes the time to develop a well-written comment that's well-supported with science, I'm sorry, but I think it's really terribly disrespectful that the billionaires team decides to call that comment bombing.
And I want
and that's
to.
That's what they've done. They've put wonderful PR spin on all of this. Like when they came out in the fall of 2014 and said, we've heard the public, so we're going to voluntarily do an EIS. Well, they weren't voluntarily doing the EIS. They were doing the EIS because the EPA told them,
you
have that much waste applied on the ground and that much waste going into an effluent pond.
I want to.
That triggers the EIS.
I want to acknowledge Bob Hammerquist, 95-year-old war hero, spending these critical years of his life, vulnerable years of his life, running around chasing after all of this too, you know? Like,
yeah,
to me, when I look
he's my main man. He's really been wonderful, and he'll be going over with me.
He's been wonderful, and he is starting to reach that time of being vulnerable.
Yes.
And he's pretty impressive for 95, but running around, hopping on these planes, driving all over, is like a major focus to be protecting the community. And I am sorry of what you guys have been asked to do. And when I also look at it, I don't understand how it makes good business sense because, not to be crass, but Kalua and Poipu are 25% of the tax base from this island. And if the impacts that are feared and very likely from a 2,000-head dairy operation...
Oh, they're being realized in other places.
They're being realized in other places, but I'm saying that would really hurt the island beyond just your area.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of impact. So I thank you for all that you all have done.
You're welcome, Felicia.
Yes.
I know in Ocala.
Yes.
People wake up there at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. I know one resident called me and said, I call the police. It was 4 a.m. My husband was throwing up in the toilet. My nose burned. My eyes burned from the ammonia. She said, I call the police. And I said, well, good, because there are ordinances that prohibit noxious odors. But can you imagine if those kinds of noxious odors are floating over people that are visiting here in hotels?
Well,
and on the beach,
I am,
you just don't go away.
I am
be here.
Facebook friends with the county council chair over there, and she can't sleep over it. And so when I look at that, I just think, all right, the person who leads the county council is having a hard time even influencing it. So I want to thank you so much. We're at the top of the hour, so I
thanks for having us, Felicia. Thanks for all that you do to get the word out, okay?
Okay. Thank you for your tireless help.
Yes, thank you.
And from
Bridget.
Alan Faya, too, Bridget.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
You're amazing.
Thanks for your support, Alan. You've been great for us, really.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very
Take
much.
Take care, you guys.
Aloha.
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 And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with The Copper Man and Edible Hawaiian Islands magazine.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Edible Hawaiian Islands is a subscription-based, advertiser-supported print and digital magazine, the only James Beard Award-winning food and drink magazine in the state of Hawaii. Edible Hawaiian Islands digital magazine may be enjoyed at ediblehi.com.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and we do need you to support us at kkcr.org, where you can go in and donate. We are still trying to reach our goal of $1,000. We're at $765. We were able and very lucky to hit that by our 20 minutes in, but we do need that help, 826-7774. And helping us get there are our Wave Riders, so here's our next group. Thank you so much, Wave Riders. Thank you so much, people who've offered food in here.
Oh, yeah. The food has been great.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. And including March brought cupcakes. Did you have one?
I did have one, and I had one of Yakadusa's bagels, too, bagel man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Family-owned and operated, Garden Island Properties is located in Kapaa, proudly serving Kama'aina and visitors for over 25 years.
Poahina at Hanapepe, Facebook, original Hawaiian Island clothing store. Love you long time, KKCR, from Louis and Fumi.
Trees Lounge in Kapa'a for 10 years. Live music, happy hours, late nights, and now breakfast. TreesLoungeKauai.com, 808-823-0600.
The Spot Organic Frozen Yogurt Bar, made to order flavors and vegan options, located above the local in Kapa'a, 808-320-8450.
Halelea, Family Medicine and Urgent Care in Kilauea, now open until 7 p.m. and on weekends. Walk-in urgent care 7 days a week, 828-2885.
Lawrence D. McCreary, attorney at law, representing Kauai residents in bankruptcy since 1980, 808-246-0269, or attorneymccreary@hotmail.com.
Ola's in Hanalei, celebrating 35 years of serving the North Shore community, featuring fine crafts and art by Doug Britt, 826-6937.
Jungle Girl Boutique in Old Kaloa Town, celebrating cultural diversity since 1998. Jewelry, housewares, clothing, and art, honoring the hands of our handmade treasures.
Go Farm Hawaii, an agricultural training program cultivating the next generation of farmers. New program session on Kauai starts early 2018. GoFarmHawaii.org.
The designers at Goldsmiths Kauai, creating fine jewelry with gemstones, pearls, and diamonds in Wailua for over 30 years. Goldsmiths-Kauai.com, 822-4653.
Harvest Market Hanalei, your natural food source, invites you to share the love with KKCR.
Princeville Center is a gathering place where you will find a collection of shopping, dining, and business services to meet your every need.
Hawaiki Oceanic and Tribal Art Gallery, bringing culture to your world. A 16-year collection from all across Oceania and beyond. HawaiiArt.com.
Waipakalo Festival is coming up on Sunday, December 3rd. Mahalo Nui, KKCR.
If you would like more information about a wave rider or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I have a caller on the air, then I'm going to play a song, and then I'm going to put a question to my guest. We don't have the caller?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
They're
coming back.
You get it, okay?
All right. So we're going over a handful of valuable pieces, so I'm going to give you a heads up. And can I ask you guys how old you are? I'm 55. Okay.
Hold on. Is going on 81
Hold on.
In a few days.
Okay, say it again. How old's March?
81. In a few days.
Happy birthday, Marge.
I made 85 on October 13th.
Okay, so I am so blessed to have two people in here because you made a really interesting comment. If we get our call in, we're going to take our caller. But then you had made a comment about the birth control pill. And I want to hear from people who can remember before that was out. Like, I think none of the rest of us in this room predate that, because you made a really strong comment. All right. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air. You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, aloha, Felicia. This is Patricia calling with the Prevent Suicide Kauai Task Force.
Oh, hi.
Hey. I want to say actually mahalo to KKCR and to yourself and Marshall and really everybody there that volunteers to put forth like these important social topics and issues for discussion in our community. It's just really important, so glad to support you guys and I did want to ask, is it all right to announce about our upcoming event?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we're here for.
All right. Thanks so much. So for the Prevent Suicide Kauai Task Force, we are hosting, this is our second annual Walk to Prevent Suicide. It's a community event. It's going to be this Saturday, November 18th at Kauai Community College. So 3 p.m. Is registration in front of the One Stop Center. And then we're going to do a walk around the campus, about 3/4 mile, to the gazebo on the backside of the campus. There is going to be entertainment and some just light refreshments and just a lot of sharing and remembering people who we've lost to suicide and also people who are still struggling, and just talking about resources such as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-TALK. So that's 1-800-273-TALK. 8255, and we also have a text line, which is something a little newer. You can text the word aloha to 741741, and we also have resource cards and information that we're going to be giving out and starting to distribute. But yeah.
So, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
When you do a walk to prevent suicide, what that would mean to me is that's like helping people maybe who feel vulnerable, for them to realize how many other people maybe feel vulnerable, or for them to be able to understand that there are many people who care, and that this is a difficult point shared by many people. And I will say that just for myself this week, I have spoken with 3 people in my ordinary life that have been struggling with that threshold. And it's a lot of people go through this. So if you're listening and you feel that, know that you're loved. And I'm not sure what causes all this. I think it's our heavy economic current. I think there's so many different things. But you are loved, and that, you know, that not to feel that you're alone. There's another program. We did something for the survivors of suicide people, like for the friends and relatives of it. Oftentimes people who have had somebody very close to them leave this life, it leaves this big hole right around, and other people feel vulnerable also. So this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Kauai Community College, sort of right as you come in on the right, that's where you all will be meeting, and then you're going to walk around the campus, and that there's this number, 800-273-TALK or 8255. People could call that if they're feeling extra vulnerable.
Felicia, I have some thanks to give. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, too, in addition to the number, I mean, it's not just for people in crisis, but it's for people like yourself, Felicia, where you're helping others and you want to find out, how do I approach them? What do I say? How do we talk about suicide? Because it's such a serious topic and it's scary. So it's a big part of the resource as well. And definitely going to the event, being part of the task force, or just learning more about how do I help my loved ones or how do I help myself. That's what this is all about, is being able to talk about this.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, Marshall?
And well, thank you for all that you put out there. Marshall, yours is a whole separate thing, right? So we can let Trish go, right?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trish.
Aloha.
Marshall?
Yes.
Yes. You have some thank yous for people who've supported us.
Yes. There were just some really exciting thank yous with fireworks coming through, and I got excited. Yeah.
Okay.
So, going back to last week, we had the Living Roots Family Farm give us a generous donation, and that's Annie Betsy.
Auntie Betsy.
Is that what I...
Auntie. Okay.
We have Mark from Kilauea, Paul...
In the garden on the farm.
And then I believe this is this show. Heather, thank you very much. Donated online. And Thor from Lihue.
Oh, thank you.
Donated for us. Marge did as well. Mahalo, Marge.
Thank you.
And Sharon from Hanalei gave us a donation today. And Eileen is our kahuna.
Kapuna.
With an H?
Okay.
Yeah, our kahuna, an online donation, and that is a big boost to us. Thank you, Eileen.
And then we had Marshall, and we had Joe.
Okay.
Joe from Kalaheo and Marshall from Princeville.
Okay, I didn't have Joe on here. And Marshall, yeah. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Marshall.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I want to thank all the volunteers that are pretty active donors. Oh, and I got another one
here. Oh, wow.
Alan Faya. All right, did he just top me off?
Almost.
Now
you're just...
yay.
How much to go?
$21 away from
$21 away from the goal.
Yay, we can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that.
826-7771.
Or 7774.
Call now.
All right. Now we're $20 off. Here we got Jake. Jake.
Yay, Jake.
Hey, Laura Christine. Yay.
All right.
But now we're going to have to go over. But yay.
Thank you. So, Felicia, I want to mention about healthcare.gov.
Please.
Is this a good moment?
Yes.
Okay. The Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. In the last months, we've heard a lot about repealing Obamacare. And in case anybody's confused, no, it's not repealed. The Republicans in Congress have utterly failed to keep their main campaign promise of repealing Obamacare. Thank God, yes. So if you have insurance through healthcare.gov, you need to go back and renew or update. Some things have changed. It's still there. It still works. Everything's cool, but you need to check back in. And if you don't have it yet, you can go there and check it out, healthcare.gov. And December 15th is the deadline. So it's time to get on that.
Yeah. I actually need to go look at that. And what I learned,
check it out.
What I learned is Kauai Economic Opportunity will help people if they can't figure it out. I've been one of those that it's like calling the IRS. Actually, the IRS is easier. You're more likely to get a phone answer on the IRS than you are, even during President Obama's time, couldn't get an answer on the Obamacare thing.
Yeah, and although they have not been able to repeal Obamacare, what Trump has been able to do is to hold up the payments to the insurance companies, which has made a lot of costs of the Affordable Care Act just skyrocket. Yeah, some people's premiums are going to be out of control because the insurance companies can't figure out what's going on. If they don't get these payments, the whole thing's a mess. So, and besides that, he's just cut the outreach. You know, normally there was all kinds of advertising, letting people know this is happening. That's what I felt is really important to emphasize.
And so there's a lot of parallels to what we were just talking about at a local level, where there is somewhat of a constant chess game of how do you keep the people from getting what they want, you know, back and forth. So that's this. Now, both of you guys were both, Alan and Marge, were moving themselves in a way that they had something to say.
They brought us delicious dinner.
Oh, good. Salad, the kitchen at Papaya's just brought us salad and chili and rice, so that sounds really good.
Papaya's.
Biscuits.
Yeah,
it is really delicious. We've had
nice.
So much good food.
Nice.
Location, so
the
kitchen.
Is
Jake the excavator?
Jake is. Jake had the excavator over. Jesse was excavating.
Oh, I was watching that.
On Facebook. I filmed you guys yesterday. Jake's my next-door neighbor.
And I sent a note saying, if you could come over and do my yard, I could have a garden, too.
Oh, yes. Actually, you could.
We could arrange that, for sure.
He lives in Princeville. I don't know if you can have a garden in Princeville, can you?
As long as presentable. The rules are if it looks pretty, clean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's doable.
I want to thank all four of my people in here for helping to sponsor KKCR right on this show today. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And, right. Thank you. That's five.
Yeah, she's a double angel.
Okay. Are we ready to ask a question? I know you have something, but Marge had brought something up.
Yeah, you were the one that...
So I drag you back in here because you started something. And so at 81 and 85... Male and female, because you just, like, called out the guys. You said that the advent of the birth control pill was threatening to men. Is that correct? Did I hear you?
Well, that's part of it. But the other part of it for women is, in my opinion, they have become as corrupt as men because of the birth control pill.
I've heard that before, by young males, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. Because of the birth control pill, women have become as corrupt as men? Is that what you said?
I believe that, yes.
Yeah.
It has gone and really, really violated a whole bunch of moral values that were so prevalent for a long time, at least in the Christian and the Jewish faith. And the birth control pill has challenged that moral value system. And I believe it's at the basis of a lot of problems that have come since 1960.
I have heard young men say, "Mom, you don't understand." Well, now I just gave it away. Girls can be absolute sexual predators just as bad as guys, and it can be pretty ruthless. So I've heard that. So we have three men in the room. I'm going to pick on Alan first. Alan, do you have anything to say on this?
Are you talking about birth control pills?
Birth control pills. Do you feel that you saw a significant difference between the morality of the, you know, and the predatoriness or corruption?
I guess my observation skills are not that good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is the same way when you talk about how just about every man you've ever known is a predator. I'm like, I have never known a predatory woman either. Well, am I just lucky? I don't know. And you know what?
I never said every man is a predator. I never said that. I said many men are predators.
Yeah, or like almost everyone that you've encouraged.
I've said half. Half. That's half a man.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Half a man are a little bit, have boundary issues. Is that fair to say, Marge?
Mm-hmm. And your last caller on the phone to... talking to us about the walk to prevent suicide. I wonder how many of those suicides are being generated from an unwanted pregnancy issue, and how not having a Planned Parenthood here on this island to educate men and women, girls and boys, about birth control. And, you know, I want to know what makes our candidates tick, particularly on this subject.
That's really two very different topics.
Yeah.
I'm just going to...
But on this subject.
Okay, so I'm going to say something that, like, I know men who have had their babies terminated without their...
partners.
Desire. Yeah. That has happened to them, and that has been a catastrophic moment towards drug abuse and self-destruction. Mm-hmm. So it's not only something that is... problematic for women. It can also be incredibly painful for men. And then when we say we want to support choice for women, where do men get to have a say in the choice, right? So there is a problem in both directions. So I want to give a thank you out. Jessica Cannon, we say we love you. We thank you. She donated online again in memory of Eric Cannon, who passed away less than a year ago, who was part of the Kauai Soapbox team. And I want to cry for, you know, several years, three or four years, big part of our team. Jessica, we love you. Eric, we love you. Thank you for doing this in Eric's name.
Mahalo, Jessica.
Mahalo, Jessica. Mahalo, Eric. Mm. Eric, we love you. Yeah, we've lost a number of programmers this year, too. Jake, was somebody have a question?
Yeah, our caller just called in to let us know about a traffic accident that just happened.
Okay.
At the 12th mile marker on the southbound lane. That's in Anahola, right past the solar farm. And it looks like it's an overturned trailer, but I'm going to have to get this call. So.
Okay. So we.
They said the police were on the site, but they wanted to just let everybody know to be cautious and drive careful and slow down.
Okay. All right, so southbound lane. Sounds like no fatalities. When there's fatalities, sometimes they close both lanes. Doesn't always mean we had both lanes closed for a while earlier this week, and still yet there was a survival.
Phone's ringing, Felicia.
It's
a good sound on the phone drive.
It's a good sound, and I'm seeing that we got another $175 came in over that. So we love you. We thank you.
Yes.
And let's honor our wave riders. If people want to call, 826-7774 or go to kkcr.org and hit that donate button. We're going to hear from our wave riders. And Alan has something here to share with when we come back, and I have a song. Okay, here's our wave rider.
The Kauai Lifeguard Association would like to salute Kauai's lifeguards and firemen for their dedication to the safety of all our beach users. Not one of the 15 drowning deaths on Kauai in 2016 were at a lifeguarded beach.
Paradise Music Hawaiian Music Store, located in Princeville Shopping Center, loves Hawaiian music and KKCR.
Robustus Eucalyptus would love to send a warm aloha to all, especially EMC.
Plenty Papule Kayak's new location in Kapa'a has all your kayaking and kayak fishing needs. 245-5005, plentypapule.com.
You can freeze your fat away with Great Health Today. Treatments are fast and permanent. GreatHealthToday.com. GR8HealthToday.com. Or 970-456-7177.
Kilauea Studio Dance and Fitness Art, located adjacent to Healthy Hut in Kilauea. Adult and keiki dance training. Aerial silks and fitness training. Schedule and info at kilaueastudio.com.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, bringing KKCR to a higher place for 20 years. Always believing in community radio.
The Island School Alumni Association, ISAA, connecting and empowering the alumni of Island School.
At Bayada Kauai Home Care, we love what we do. Compassion, excellence, reliability. 245-5841.
Kauai Marine and Mower, supporting community radio on Kauai for 20 years. Thank you, KKCR.
Steelgrass Farm 2017 Cocoa of Excellence Award finalist, perpetuating local agriculture by growing tasty chocolate on Kauai.
Austin Owen at Country Brokers, discreetly doing real estate on the north and east sides for 11 years, keeping your business, 635-7587.
Alec Ahana, your Kauai Edward Jones financial advisor at Hanamaulu Branch. Additional information at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
If you would like more information about a wave rider or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
Mahalo, and mahalo again to Jessica for the gift for Eric. So, wait a minute. Actually, another one.
Oh, yeah.
Mama from Eric. Marsha, we love you, and we're sorry for the loss of your beautiful son. Thank you. And, you know, actually, we've had a number of programmers who have gone away, some of them who have been rather young. And
he passed away.
Passed away, gone yeah. away to heaven.
Right, okay.
So to Lee Thompson, who lost her, Angel Alex, who was also a programmer here, sending up her some love, too. Marsha, Jessica, thank you. Okay, Alan. You had something to share when we were talking a little bit about the Omidyar stuff.
Yeah, I want to cover the Hanalei Ridge, which is a popular subject with everyone.
Yeah, just down the street from us right here.
Yeah, around the corner.
Yeah, it's right in front of my house. I look right at it every day. It's got beautiful grove of trees on it, so there's nothing there. And there's a nice fish pond marsh before that. Now, the thing is, the true name of that ridge is Kaua Kani Onu. Kaua Kani Onu is the true Hawaiian name of the ridge.
Okay, Kaua Kani Onu. Thank you.
Yes, that's the true name, and all the Hawaiians respect that. It's in the, all the Hawaiian land trust people know about it. Hal Hammett, who is... He's the head of Cultural Surveys Hawaii. I've known him for years. When we used to do our KHPRC, which KHPRC Historic Preservation Commission, I was on that for mm-hmm. years. And every time something came up had to do with cultural or, you know, that sort of thing, Hal would come over as the expert on the issues of culture, you know, Hawaiian culture. Like and preservation, or like if you're going to change a building. So I got to know Hal very well over the years, and when we first heard about this project of Pierre Omidyar, that they called it Phase 1. And so Hal came over and sat down with me and Sterling Chisholm, because we both knew that ridge from small kid time. We used to play on that ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we remember the rock wall that was right by the fish pond. And so Hal did an interview, and so we suddenly became, you know, Kauai consultants to Cultural Surveys Hawaii. And Hal did take a lot of offense to the idea that it was to be used very carefully and with respect to Hawaiian culture. I mean, that's where Hal comes from. And the big point that he made was that the rock wall, he actually himself went in and he dug around the rock wall and went down 8 or 10 or 12 feet and found out that the rock from survey was 800 years old.
Hmm.
So it had been built by probably Marquesans or some other before Hawaiians got here.
Before Tahitians got here.
Hal, so, what's his last name?
Hal Hammett, H-A-M-M-A-T-T. And he was going to join us today on the program, but he had a doctor's appointment. So, unfortunately, he'll have to go and look at the file later.
He's an anthropologist, archaeologist.
Okay. Archaeology, yeah. And the issue here is over the years, there have been a number of events that have happened on that ridge. Of course, the Berkmeyer family lived there, had a house out on the top of the hill up there. And they did film two movies, South Pacific and Beachhead. So it became famous from the movie standpoint. And then about the time...
It was Kellett's Landing at one point, too, right?
What?
Kellett's Landing, is it?
Yeah, that was before. That was during, in fact, the sea captain, Kellett's Landing sea captain, was the one that really got that ridge going. So in the 1970s, we had the original Hanalei plantation, 50 cottages and 162 rooms. I remember when they opened, it was a great place, Hanalei Plantation.
It was before the Princeville Hotel. It was like the only hotel, as opposed to now there's a whole bunch of resort districting up there.
Exactly. In those days, all the Hanalei people, including ourselves, would come up to the Hanalei Plantation Hotel, and they would have, especially on Sundays, they had Hawaiian families come and sing Hawaiian music, church music. And anyway, that was nice. And then Club Med took it over, and that was about 1979, 1980, and they went bankrupt. Club Med closed up actually at the end of the 1970s. And then Bruce Stark got permission to build, I think it was going to be...
condos.
Originally, he was going to build 90 condo units. This was 1980, and they revised it later to 60 condos. And then he went bankrupt. Interesting, they're all going bankrupt, aren't they?
Yes, and you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you, Kauai Soapbox, Jake Marshall and Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And then Alan Faya is talking about the Hanalei Ridge, also known as Kaua Kaneonu. I'm not saying it right. Anyway, and then Marge Dente is in here. Continue, Alan.
Okay, I'll move along a little faster here. After the failure of Bruce Stark, it sat for quite a while. And then Kauai County finally allowed Ohana Hanalei LLC to start a project, and that was actually Jeff Stone had purchased Princeville, and so Pierre Omidyar bought the ridge from Jeff Stone for $75 million. And at that point, they started a plan for, at that time, 34 houses on the ridge, of which four were going to be not seen by the Hanalei people. So that meant that 30 houses would be visible from Hanalei.
Very large houses.
And they could be, except I always thought that they put restrictions on how they build the houses that could have been okay.
We did a show on it. They were very large.
But they were, obviously, they were drummed out of town. They were gone. So... the next thing that happened was just recently there was another one that Jeff Stone took over the land on a 5-year lease from Pierre. Interesting that Pierre bought it from Jeff, but he leased it to Jeff Stone, who was then going to build an 80-unit hotel on the ridge, and that is dead.
Oh, is that right? So we're not going to get the underground parking structure on the... because I was worried about that. Like, now maybe that would hurt the structure of the mountain right there.
That's dead, dead, dead. In fact, I talked to Hal today about that, and he said it's mortally dead. It's totally dead. So
what happened?
Well, he was going to build a garage underground, mm-hmm. And I meant excavating for about 100 cars. Mm-hmm. And then he was also going to have water features that were totally impossible.
So and, when was it decided no?
Well, they backed off from it.
Okay.
So it's dead. Hal is on top of it.
All right.
So that's here we are. Now, think about this for just a minute. Think of the fact that when the Birkmeyers lived there and they had a couple of nice movies and things went well. After that, all developments that followed failed. So the point is, why even think about developing that ridge? So my proposal here is to Pierre, actually his company, let me give you the name of his company. It's really called, let's see, it's a Ohana Real Estate Investment. OREI, real estate arm of Ohana Holdings, of which the owner is Pierre Omidyar, billionaire. Well, if nothing's going to happen with that ridge and the fish pond, which is really a mess, and it's a real disaster right now. Anybody that takes that on is got a huge liability, very expensive to do anything. So, Mr. Omidyar, what we're proposing to do is you donate this to HILT. Ever heard of HILT?
Hawaiian Island Land Trust?
Hawaiian Island Land Trust. Yeah, that was used to be that each island had its own trust, but they combined them mm-hmm. into one trust. And Kavika Burgess is the director, the CEO of Hilt.
H-I. What's Kavika's wife's name? Is she amazing? I mean, is she part of Yes Magazine and all kinds of things? Okay, well, anyway.
I don't know.
I think so.
But
okay.
I do know, talking to Hal, that Kavika was going to call me back today, but Hal and Kavika talked, and Kavika thought it was a good idea that we approach Omidyar. And Omidyar would get a huge write-off on tax write-off, and he would become Pono with the island, so to speak, not mentioning Mahawilipu. But but the point being that we would have a facility that would be taken over by Hawaiian Land Trust. They could have volunteers clean up the fish pond. They could clean up the whole ridge and make it a nice facility, you know, park out of it for locals, for Hawaiians, and Hawaiians would get first choice in whatever they want to do there. So the point being that it would be to everybody's benefit to no longer even think about this ridge that is, I think there's some kind of a spirit in this that says don't develop.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. What is the mission of Hawaii Islands Land Trust? Do you know, like, for what purpose do they acquire land?
Well, they have lists. They have a huge list.
It's supposed to be to hold it in conservation.
Mm-hmm. It's for the benefit of the indigenous Hawaiians, I think, is really the purpose.
Can you look that up real quick?
The mission?
Yeah, of HILT.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, H-I-L-T. So anyway, the point being that if that's the best place to go with that, there's no other way to donate it to a 501c3 private company or something. No, it's got to be to the Hawaiian Island Land Trust, and that it was originally Hawaiian land, and it's still respected by Hawaiians. There's a DVD. No, not a DVD. It's a. I sent it to you. It's called Hanalei Iki. Somebody did a nice job of making a PDF document.
Yes.
And it's referenceable. It all goes together, and it talks about the fact that that whole ridge was really never really meant for development.
That sounds like a really good show to develop, and that's one of the things that Kauai Community Radio is good at, is being able to look and help to use community voices to help facilitate developing ideas. If you'd like to donate and support Kauai Community Radio, 826-7774 or kkcr.org for a donate now. And we are so thankful to all our people who've helped. We are at 1,225. I want to hear what Waipa is doing with the Kalo Fest. Then I want to just do one other little song, if you're okay with that, from Brada Joe. And then Marge has something that she would like to share with us. So here's the Kalo Fest.
It's Kalo Festival time again, folks. Sunday, December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Waipa, just past Hanalei. A celebration of everything Kalo. A fun, engaging day for the whole family, great Christmas shopping for locally made crafts, silent auction and keiki activities including a water slide, ono food with kalo, music and hula all day, poi pounding, hands-on crafts, and recipe and biggest kalo contests. Contest entry forms and more information at waipafoundation.org or 826-9969. The Waipa Kalo Festival, Sunday, December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
The Jungle Jukebox, every Thursday, noon to 2 p.m., is truly thankful for everyone's dedication and support to KKCR.
Spa Makaiva in Kapa'a behind Coconut Marketplace. Massage, raindrop therapy, organic facials, and Kama'aina memberships. SpaMakaiva.com, 808-823-7521.
The local Kauai Kitchen and Bar in Kapa'a. Locally sourced ingredients, featuring cocktails with Hawaii-made spirits and local fresh juices. 808-431-4926. TheLocalKauai.com.
The Kauai Beekeepers Association supports Kauai Community Radio and encourages you to be friendly and to learn how to give bees a chance at KauaiBeekeepersAssociation.com.
Hawaii Children's Theater presents the beloved family musical, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, at the Convention Hall from November 10th to the 26th. Hawaii Children's Theater, theatre.org.
Anahola Granola, spreading aloha for 32 years with island-made, non-GMO granola and bars. AnaholaGranola.com.
Kilauea Paint and Feed, quality paint, propane fill and exchange, healthy pet and livestock feed, and Hendrikas Organic Fertilizer, 828-6655.
The Friends of Mel Raposo support Kauai Community Radio and encourages you to register and vote in 2018. MelForKauai.com.
The 17th Annual Hawaii Homegrown Music Festival, December 16th and 17th, and New Year's Eve on Oahu with G-Love and Ozo Motley, 808-635-5556, DovePresents.com. Trilogy, specialty coffee, chai tea, organic food, and artisan chocolate, next to Hunter-Gatherer in Kilauea.
Kila Apiary, specializing in bee extractions, island-wide, honey also available. 808-212-4178.
Papayas, now even better in our new location right on the highway in Kapa'a. Papayas Natural Foods and the Kitchen at Papayas, here to support your healthy journey every day.
Kauai Mold, Inc., specializing in mold and mildew remediation. Consultations and mold inspection appointments, 808-214-8102 and kauaimold.com.
Vaiti Botanicals, loofahs, homegrown botanical aromas, and hydrosols. A sensory adventure, Aroma Farm Kauai on Instagram, hawaiibotanicals.com, 808-639-6956.
The BRAD Foundation, supporting Kauai and its keiki through monthly beach cleanups and outdoor keiki programs. b-radfoundation.org, 651-3970.
If you would like more information about a wave rider or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Thanks.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, 826-7774. If people would like to call that in at the top of the hour, Jazz with John will be in. And I want to play Alan's pigeon friend, Brada Joe, one more song, and then we're going to talk to March. So let me see if I've got my skills of making a song come on.
Go, Felicia, go.
I'm trying.
You can do it. Press that big bad button there. The one with the arrow on it.
Okay, that's it.
You good job.
You got it. Yes.
Marquette Stanley. The Blue Cross went San on one Christmas card, eh? He no stay now, but he stay free, as why. I went no da mada before. That's when I stay Bertania Street, eh? She never like come close, she stay wild, as why. One by she come pregnant, then come Stanley and the brother. They stay wild too, eh? Morning time I watch them play under the tree. They like chase the leaves, eh? One time the mother, she gets squashed on top the road. Then Stanley and the brother, they come on top my step, eh? Stay hungry as why. Then slow, he land me touch him. But not the brother, he scared. And so, me and Stanley, we will make friends, eh? And Bambai come inside. We will play fight, eh? Go fun, the kind. I get scratched, but I went buy him one small kind Super Bowl. And when he whack him, he bounce any kind place. One time I must move, eh? And Stanley, what I gonna do with him? Long time I think, eh? Bambaya figure, mo better let him go on top the mountain. This mean he's free, eh? No more a man's gon' bother him. So, I put him inside a box, and I tied him with a string, and I drive to the mountain. I seen him one time after that. He looked like one goose, eh? His hair all stand up from the cold. He look me long time, eh? Just like he like tell me something. Then he stay go.
Very creative. He's your friend from childhood?
He is so famous, even Nick Beck of Hanalei, who's been a long-time resident. Everybody knows Nick Beck.
He was my boss at one point.
And Nick Beck always says, he sees me, he says, "Oh, my cat Stanley."
Right on. And I love the arts. And I just bought from Yaw some tickets to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It'll be really good. That's the Hawaii Children's Theater. They always do amazing shows at the Kauai War Memorial on the weekend. So last weekend, this weekend, and the one after. So I'm happy to be going. Marge.
Yes, Felicia, I just want to thank all the people who are calling in to support your show. Mm-hmm. And I got to thank you, Felicia, for the huge service that you do for our community.
Yes.
You go out there with our remote recording device and you are very responsible for getting the word out from all our candidates at the different forums. And with that in mind, it's time for people to consider, in my opinion, running for public office. And I particularly want to encourage women to do this. And there is a wonderful magazine out right now called, let's see, what is it called here? I've got it written down. Marie Claire. It's all one word. And it has 6 or 7 pages devoted to women who want to learn how to run for public office. It deals with things such as raising money, how to create your own websites and advertising, and managing your personal life. You know, if you're married and have kids, how are you going to do all the research while you're serving on the county council without some help? So it talks about building a team and who should be on your team. And also it really stresses that you need to be very positive and how to provide solutions to local issues. So I, you know, Felicia's been so you know, just such a community service for us. And several other programmers help her to do this, of course. It's just not a one-man show to get out there to do all this coverage live on our wonderful radio station. But I want to give out the website and particularly encourage women to go to this website. And if you can't do it, then have your neighbors or your friends consider it. And it's not important to win. What's important is to get a woman's voice out on all our media and our Garden Island newspaper and Hawaiki. That's the important thing.
Why is it not important to win?
It's hard to win.
I want to say, looking at the female candidate thing, when I look at how people vote, so women don't vote for women. That's the thing that's pretty interesting. I did run for office. I felt very honored with all the votes that I did get. I got about 8,000. I lost by a pretty small margin, just a little over 300 votes. But when I looked at the last election, there were several women running, one who I felt was particularly strong and solid. And when I see how few votes that she got, I was really kind of amazed that somebody with the level of skill that she had, I'll just throw her name out there, Norma Dr. Sparks, maybe not an aggressive enough campaigner, but when I saw, you know, really all the women running, it didn't do very well. And I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting, because more than half the voters are women. And so if we're going to call sexism on the voting, we got to call it on both genders.
Are you ever going to run again?
You know, I have actually a lot of requests for me to do that. And this is something I want to say relative to the people who are in office. I'm so involved in all this stuff. It is hard for anybody who is elected in office to do what many people would consider the right thing, because what you have to do first and foremost is to follow the existing law and follow the existing constitutions and charter. And so a lot of times people aren't, quote, bought out or compromised. the law doesn't allow them to do it. Even our basic constitution of the United States is really about protecting private property rights. And so...
Wait. There's a lot about individual freedoms.
In the Bill of Rights.
And which is part of the Constitution.
Which has almost all been knocked out. You know, the Bill of Rights, like the Constitution that was written, it was really about private property rights. And then when Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin came back from France, because it all got hoodwinked from them when they left to go help the French with their revolution, they got that Bill of Rights. But I don't want to get in a big, huge political conversation right now because we don't have enough time. I don't mind doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that when... What I watch is people get slapped all the time verbally for not doing the right thing, but a lot of these people are just following the law as they are required to do. So sometimes it's easier to make a difference from the outside than it is from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And now I won't know whatever I do until right as that time comes.
Well, I would like to encourage you, Felicia, but I do want to get this website out, and it's real important for women to go to it because you're going to get a lot of answers to some questions.
Okay, what's the website?
I will first say it and then spell it. Marie Claire, marieclare.com/run-for-office.
For the letter or the number F-O-R?
F-O-R, yeah. And you'll get a lot of really good advice here. And you can find the magazine. I hope it's at the libraries, but I don't know. It's the November 2017 issue, so it's online right now. Yeah. So
and let's get our women's organization to actually support women candidates, because the women's organizations at both the county level and the state level and the political level typically endorse male candidates, and that was sort of an interesting thing for me when I was running as a female candidate in going and asking for their support, and they weren't interested in supporting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, is the women are as much of a problem as the men in terms of not supporting women candidates, yes?
You know, I just wanted to mention Indivisible, the groups that have, it's now a nationwide effort that has arisen in response to the last presidential election. And they made great strides in this election that just passed here, and it's very encouraging. There is an indivisible group in Hawaii. It's indivisible-hawaii.org, and you can go there, and they help people to become candidates and guide people through that process. And then Jake's got a note to share.
Okay.
So as of the call earlier, the traffic accident in Kapaa, the traffic has now been backed up from Kapaa to Kealia, and they are alternating both lanes of traffic. So be cautious, drive slow, and be safe out there.
Great.
What a voice you have, Jake.
Yeah, I know. Right now, you should be on the radio.
He's got a voice.
Jake's gonna cover for Marshall when Marshall goes to New Jersey. And Marshall was going to go for 8 weeks and cut it down to 2 weeks, so that's great.
Thank you, Marshall.
But I'm really happy that Jake's been coming in all this time. At KKCR,
absolutely.
We're always trying to get a lot more voices and perspectives, and Jake's got a lot of really great perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow I am going to be covering for Paul Massey, who went to Cuba in the garden on the farm, and we are going to be talking about gleaning and the village harvest, which is another way of community generosity. Just like donating to KKCR is community generosity, donating your excess produce to the people who are hungry is
sweet.
Community generosity.
Do you have a gas lined up?
Yeah, Gray Hayden.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
And one advantage to running for office and not thinking about winning is when I ran for mayor on another island about the size of Kauai in 1979, I lost by 3 votes. Because I got,
wow,
I got, I,
wow.
Yeah. But what was important was that we had many issues just like happening here: sewer treatment, clean water, you know, just unbelievable amount of problems. And I was able to address those, and people started paying attention for the first time. And even though I didn't win, it changed the politics of that town forever. It really did.
Mm-hmm. I am sure. I'm going to give a shout out to Dustin Barca, who ran the same time I did. And him as an absolute dark horse, inexperienced candidate, inexperienced from politics completely, getting 37%, mm-hmm. was incredible, brought out all kinds of new voters, brought out all kinds of people paying attention, and brought out a lot of discussion. And I know for myself personally, people who weren't listening to me or didn't know who I was, not that it's important for me to be important or known who I am, the effort of going out, like I decided I need to meet the Kauai that I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I probably know 10,000 people. That means I don't know 60,000. Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing learning experience for me to be out there and finding all this element that I didn't know. And it really made me strong.
And I got to say, too, for Dustin running, I never really paid attention to politics much, but being that Dustin was a childhood friend, and I know this goes for a lot of younger people, too, a lot of younger people started to pay attention and get involved in the process. Mm-hmm. And really figure out what's going on in the community, what's going on with the politics, and really pay attention to what's going on and what the process is and what we can do to make a positive change. So I thought that was an amazing thing for him to do, and I'm really proud of him and stoked, because I know it's quite a task and a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's an ordeal. For me, when I look at a lot of this local thing, it's like, voting for student council president, you know, I like all of them, you know. It's, sometimes it's a drag that you can't have both. Marshall, can you read off very, very fast who we have gratitude for? Because we've got a Long County Council report, mm-hmm. and read them really fast who donated today.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have the most recent ones, but today, Heather, thank you to you. Thor from Lihue. Marge, thanks, Marge. Sharon from Hanalei. Eileen is our Kahuna donor online as well. And then last week we had the Living Roots Family Farm and Mark and Paul. So many
and
mahalas
Jake
to all the.
And Alan and Marshall.
Yep. And, I think there were a couple others after that. So we'll follow up on that.
Marsha and Jessica. And then for food mahalos, The Spot, Kauai Food Forest, Tiki and Niki, Tina B, Hanalei Organic, The Kitchen at Papaya's Natural Food, The Greenery Cafe, Kilauea Bakery, Pauhana Pizza, Chela Coberly, Harvest Market, Jimmy Trujillo and Maria Walker, Kenny Kaona, Barracuda and Hanalei, Indigo, The Ent Wife, Hanalei Pasta Company, Tim Pope, Tracy Chavone, Jesse Lehua, Austin, Alan, Jake, Marge, Marshall, thank you so much.
All right.
County Council reports up next. KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, getting the top of the hour for you, Jazz with John, because it's going to run about 2 minutes in. Here's the County Council report. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for donating and supporting to KKCR, 826-7774, kkcr.org. Start, John.
Thank you for being you, Felicia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Felicia. Thank you, Alan. Jake, aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Thanks.